It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining me. Absolutely beautiful day, pushing 50 degrees. This is spectacular. Hope you had a good weekend. We've got nice weather on tap for this week, and hopefully all that junk is gone. I've got a good, fun sports question for you today. I like to ask this question early on every year around spring training or going into the baseball season, and I was reminded of it watching a Facebook video a couple days ago of a guy I follow on Facebook. He's a training coach, played college baseball. So he brought up this question of what's the hardest thing to do in sports? So you know how this goes. Your options are hitting a baseball against a major league pitcher, like catching an NFL pass, making a three-pointer in an NBA game, like scoring a goal in hockey. There are some other things, you know, having some kind of round in golf or, you know, scoring some points in tennis against a Novak Djokovic. That'd be impossible for the average person. But what's the hardest thing to do in sports? Now, again, I have this question early every baseball season, because the consensus is for people that know a whole lot about baseball at the highest levels that the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit Major League Baseball pitching. If you agree with that, disagree with that, or want to chime in with something else, hit a three in an NBA game, catching a pass in an NFL game, 946-0435. What would be the hardest thing to do? Which one would be the easiest to do? I've weighed in on this many times over the years. To me, the easiest thing to do would be to catch a pass in an NFL game. Now, I'm not saying what kind of pass. I'm saying that you line up in a bubble screen, the quarterback turns and just throws the ball right at you. You know you're about to get absolutely destroyed. You're going to get pummeled by some big dude. But you got pads on, and if you prepare yourself, heck, even if you want to just catch the ball and go straight to the ground, well, he's gonna jump on you. It's still gonna hurt. But to me, again, I'm not saying going over the middle in an NFL game. That to me, if you're prepared for it. And it's an isolated hitting a three-pointer in an NBA game. Some of you think like, well, yeah, I can hit a three-pointer. Dude, you'll never get open in an NBA game. You would never, ever be open in an NBA game. And unless you've got some kind of sick crossover move, you and your 5'8" self, you got some sick crossover and you can pull the trigger from 30 feet. You ain't getting open enough to shoot a three-pointer in an NBA game. But I have long said that the hardest thing to do, and I think it's by far, would be to hit major league pitching, especially nowadays. You know, 25, 30 years ago, when a lot of guys were throwing 92, 93 in the major leagues, and it wasn't that. I mean, Greg Maddux won 355 games throwing 90, 91, 92, but he had unbelievable control, and he could just get anybody out at any time. Nowadays, if you had to stand in there, how many of you would pee yourself? Seriously. If you had to stand in there against Paul Skeens, I'll give you two likelihoods. One, you hit the ball. Two, you pee yourself. I think there's it's probably a 10 times greater likelihood that you pee yourself than you will hit the ball off Paul Skeens throwing 102 with crazy movement. That's always a fun discussion. If you want to chime in on that, I'd love to take your calls. We can have some fun with it. I just finished the series finale of Cobra Kai the other day. I'm not going to give any spoilers. Some of you may still be watching Cobra Kai. It's on Netflix. Great show. I have an interesting discussion I want to bring up about Cobra Kai and movie characters here in a few minutes, because I think Cobra Kai is absolutely genius. Genius broadcasting. And I'm talking about Godfather level. I'm not saying the show was Godfather level. I'm saying the idea and the execution of the show with regards to the Johnny Lawrence character who was the villain. I'm going to say that. I'll get to it here in a few minutes. I got a lot of thoughts, and I'll challenge you, if you've ever seen a TV show that's done this in the way that Cobra Kai has done it, because it's absolutely brilliant what they pulled off. We've got Dan. What's up, dude? How you doing?
Corey, you're playing right in the hands of Byron's editorial in the sports section.
What Byron write? I didn't see it.
Well, he started off with Penn State, with the way the basketball teams are going,
right?
Boys and girls. Then he switched over to the high school level.
Okay.
See, now you ought to pull it up and read it, because he was spot on.
Was it yesterday over in the weekend section?
Yeah, it'd be Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, got it.
You got it?
I got the Mirror website here. I didn't look at it yesterday. I didn't really read. I kind of took the day off yesterday from that. So, but I've got it pulled up here. I'll find it here. Okay, go ahead.
And then what he went on to say. See, now you started off what question about the sports? Well, basically, it leading into Byron's thoughts too about. It's getting harder and harder to watch the sports. Now, like Clarkster, he says it's just an astronomical way the price of things are going and the way this IR money is distributed and everything. And have you pulled it up yet?
Yep. I'm trying to find it here. I'm on the Mirror website, which is more difficult to find than if you just turn to page 2 in the sports section. But I'll get to it here in a second.
Well, I know you will, because if you're on the sports page, you might have to turn to 3 or 4 pages.
Yeah, my basketball season has been quite the downer. Yeah, I got it here.
Yeah, now you read the whole thing, and then because you and Brian, you have some interesting conversations.
I love Byron because Byron is one of the few people who ever calls about Penn State basketball, and he has for years and years. And also, Byron really enjoys St. Francis basketball, which I covered for a long time. And the gist of what he's saying here is, it's hard to be a basketball fan in this area. If you root for the high school teams, there are some good high school teams. I did talk the other day, about Altoona Boys. That program has struggled winning games for a long time now. But the girls program, Chris Flegel just won his 100th game. The BG girls, knock on wood, I think are going to win another state title this year. There are some things to root for, but this is what I've always said about high school sports. There's some things to root for if this is your school. If you're a BG fan, I'm going to tread carefully here, but I'm going to make a statement. I think this is true. Everybody here, the vast majority of people here want to see Penn State succeed. Even if you're not a huge Penn State fan, if Penn State were to win the national title, there would be so many good feelings in this region because the vast majority of people here care about Penn State. The vast majority of people here care about the Steelers. The Steelers win the Super Bowl, the vast majority of people care. If the Penguins were to win the Stanley Cup, the vast majority of people would care. I'll use BG just as an example here. It's awesome what they've done. Seriously, their girls' basketball program is fantastic. The coaches are tremendous. I know them. They work their tails off. The kids are good. They're fantastic. But you know who loves BG basketball, Dan?
Well, it's myself because I'm a BG fan.
BG fans. You know who hates BG basketball? Everybody else.
Certainly.
And so that's the difference between rooting for a high school team versus rooting for a college or professional team. In the college and the pros, your success permeates over a gigantic large percentage of sports fans. If you're a high school fan, your success permeates for your team's fans, and basically every other team's fans can't stand it. All right, they don't. No. With all due respect, I don't think most people here care or give a hoot if the BG girls win the state championship. In fact, there are probably a lot of allegations of, well, where are they getting their players and blah, 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 and there's jealousy and there's that kind of stuff. But if the Steelers win the Super Bowl, you got 90% of Blair County would love it. So the point I'm trying to make is this, that when it comes to rooting for teams, we've had a lot of high school success here. We have. But those are individual pockets of fans. So if your high school team isn't succeeding, you don't care if another high school team is succeeding. You follow my drift?
Oh, absolutely. Your point's well taken.
What do you think? Before I let you go, what do you think is the hardest thing to do in sports? I say it's bar none trying to hit a Major League Baseball pitcher. But I'll give you, hitting a three in the NBA, catching a pass in the NFL, what do you think is the most difficult thing to do?
Oh, maybe the three-pointer.
Making a three-pointer? Because here's the thing, in the NBA, people are like, I can go make a three-pointer. Yeah, if you're wide open and your defender falls down. But an NBA player defensively, and we can joke all we want, these guys don't play defense in the NBA. Well, Go try and make a three-pointer on an NBA defensive player. You're never getting that shot off.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. But I have an awful lot of trouble watching the NBA. You know?
I talked about that on Friday, and I'll get into this. I may do it tomorrow with Nathan. Which one is in more trouble, the Major League Baseball or the NBA? The NBA has become such an incredible three-point shooting league that's all they do, and yet their ratings are down because the three-pointer has become so – it's kind of become a crutch, and it's not good basketball versus Major League Baseball. You know, the game is so boring, blah, blah, blah. We may get into that topic a little bit more tomorrow.
Well, I got a specific question for Nate tomorrow.
All right. Very good. He'll be here tomorrow. Thank you, Dan. 946-0435. Nebraska man, what's up, my man?
How you doing, Corey? How was your weekend?
I tell you, I just enjoy seeing some better weather. I don't want it to become a weather show, but it's depressing as hell when you wake up and it's 6 degrees outside. You know what I'm saying? It makes you not want to try to do anything all day. Even if we know it's 30 or 35 degrees, Nebraska, that at least kind of puts a smile on your face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Corey, a very good friend of mine, I talked to him yesterday. His brother-in-law came, is in here for a week, 2 weeks vacation.
Okay.
And all they did was the gentleman is so amazed about the high school level of basketball in this area. With the they saw the Altoona High girls, they saw BG. They went over to the campus, saw the BG boys when they beat Johnstown. And his brother-in-law said, without a doubt, in this area, for the teams, he said that this is probably the toughest that he's ever seen of good basketballs coming out of one district here in Altoona.
Well, that's good to hear. It's competitive, at least. You can look at this a few different ways. We've actually started to produce some more college players from this area on the boys' side. The girls have always produced a lot of college players. The Hague kids, Joe Hague's kids, one's playing down at Mount St. Mary's. Another one who Danny Jude, he transferred out to Utah, but he's going to be playing college basketball. Those guys played right here. Luke Ruggery played at St. Francis. His brother played at Juniac. So we're starting to see some more of the local basketball players play in college. And because that, for a long, long time, in between Mike Isolino and Doug West, this area did not produce hardly any male college basketball players for the better part of two decades. So that part, now, that's never been the case with girls basketball. Girls basketball, they've produced a whole bunch of Division I players over the years.
Yeah, my question, Corey, though, is I don't understand the amount of great basketball that's in District 6. Why the both the boys and the girls, why they're not getting better offers from bigger schools rather than mostly these smaller schools, you know, like big schools, you know, like...
Okay, here's the best answer. What classification level are the best girls basketball teams in this area? Now, the Altoona girls are good this year, but what classification level have we seen a lot of great success in the last 10 to 15 years? Do you know the answer to that?
I would probably say 1A or 2A.
1A and 2A. And so, look, you can look at this both ways. It's great that our area has a whole bunch of terrific 1A and 2A players, but they're not always going up against sensational talent night in and night out. Okay, when you're playing Class A and Class AA, you're playing, by and large, you're playing a number of weaker teams. And occasionally you get a great team. You know, the BG girls will run into Bellwood, Williamsburg, that kind of thing, Juniata Valley. But these teams, they're going out and crushing people night in and night out, night in and night out. So it's not like 5 and 6A teams, the girls teams around here that are 5 and 6A, again, with the exception of the Altoona girls. The Hollidaysburg girls have been good. They've sent players on to college. But we don't have an abundance of 6'3", lightning bolt fast girl basketball, who can jump out of the gym. We don't have those girl basketball players here. We got a bunch of smaller girls from the boys' side. You know, this is why boys basketball around here has struggled for a long, 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 long time. You got mostly smaller guys, you know, quick but not the quickest, not the tallest. So it's hard to come in here and recruit these kids. A lot of these are not Division I level kids. I'm trying to be as polite as I can. I don't want to knock kids, but
right.
I'm, you know, there's typically just not a whole lot of Division I level boys basketball in this area, and there hasn't been with the exception of a few pockets here. Again, Doug West, Mike Isolino, those guys. It's been kind of slim pickings for a long, long time.
Oh yeah. Hey Corey, have you heard anything about that there's going to be a coaching change up at Altoona High boys basketball program?
I have not. Doug, I think, is a good coach. He knows basketball. It's a tough road to sled for the Altoona boys, and I do know Jared Klausman a good bit. They won back-to-back district titles. But they didn't win a whole lot of basketball games because they're just undermanned most nights going in the mid-pen. So that's a tough job. That's a brutally, brutally tough job. I've got a couple names I'd like to see take it. I'm not going to mention them publicly on there because I'm not going to put these people in a position where they've got to answer questions about it.
I heard a name too.
Well, I've got one guy in particular who I think is the best coach around here that I'd love to see take it. But look, no matter who takes that, I've said this, Nebraska man, Mike Krzyzewski would not have won at St. Francis.
No.
Not consistently. So you can be a great coach. There are a lot of things going against the Altoona boys basketball program. They're going up every night against fantastic talent, bigger, faster, stronger guys every night. And so for them to win a game even is very difficult.
My answers are, I agree with you about the baseball, but the easiest would shooting a three throw, would that be classified as?
No, you got to make a three, man.
Oh,
hey, it's my show. I'm not gonna say the name, but if you've got a name, I'm not twisting your arm if you don't want to do it. If you've got a name of somebody you think would be a great Altoona boys basketball coach, feel free to fire it out.
Do you want my opinion?
If you want to give your opinion, I'm not going to respond necessarily. I don't know, but if you want to give an opinion, go ahead.
I got two to top of my head. One of them would be Klausman, and the other one would be Chris Drennan.
Well, Klausman had it, and he's got young kids now, so he's spending a lot of time with his kids. And as for the other one, you nailed it. I mean, I'm not gonna beat around the bush. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. 946-0435. Jerry, what's up, buddy?
Hey, as far as BG goes, I'm in the everyone else category.
Look, I'm not trying to be, and I don't want to make this about BG. I'm saying if Claysburg Kimmel wins a state championship, that's great for Claysburg Kimmel. Yeah. Nobody else cares. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand. I had a question for you, but then I also, I agree with you, hitting a baseball against a major league pitcher would be impossible for me. I can't even imagine doing that.
No, look, when I was younger, I played up to 15, I played up to 16, and I faced a kid that threw about 85. I could put the ball in play because this is 1988, all right, 1989. I knew a fastball was coming. If you know an 85-mile-an-hour fastball is coming and you're a pretty good baseball player, you can get your bat on the ball. That's 85. Now, these dudes, major leaguers, they all throw 100. They've got ungodly breaking stuff that could just embarrass you. And so, the difference in trying to hit 85 versus 100, these guys are throwing 92-mile-an-hour sliders, for God's sake. I mean, there's no way the average human being understands how difficult it would be.
I agree. Before I ask you my question, I have a trivia question for you. Music
okay.
Trivia, but I think it's an easy one, though. I'm sure you know it.
I hope so, because you get me on these. I like to brag about my music trivia knowledge, and you come in and stump me all the time.
I don't think I'll stump you this time. Do you know what Elton John's middle name is?
Middle name? It's I know his first name is Reginald. Reginald.
No, his legal. This is his legal. Elton John is his legal name now. He had a change. So
right.
He came up with a legal middle name.
He came up with a legal middle name. Because I knew his name was Reginald Dwight. That's his real. So what's his? I don't know. What is his legal middle name now? Elton what, John?
Hercules.
His middle name is Hercules?
Hercules, legally. Yep.
Well, what's the story behind? Do you know the story?
No, I can't remember. I just think he thought when he wanted to come up with his name, what I heard was that he thought, what would be a cool name? And he thought, that's what I heard. He said, Hercules. It is true. That is what it is.
I just Googled real quick, and it says, Elton John says parents gave him a crap name, but at least it means queen. So that's what he was saying. That's from an Entertainment Weekly. So, all right. Hey, that's good. I like when you have music trivia, Jerry.
Yeah, hey. My baseball question is this. Are you a fan of the shift? Or the banning of the shift?
Okay. Oh, man. Wow. Dude, this is such a tremendous question. I am a fan of banning the shift to get back to more traditional baseball. However, I think defenses had every right to do a shift, and if you couldn't beat it, to hell with you. Okay, you know what I'm saying? If they're smart enough to figure out where you're going to hit the ball all the time, that's what you do at every level of baseball. Your 9-year-old shortstop, you move him left or right based on where if the coaches and the players know where you're going to hit it and they go there. That's always been part of baseball. Now, I know shifts got crazy where you put infielders in the outfield and everything. I remember Matt Adams. Remember Matt Adams would get up to bat, and they just put everybody in right field. There wouldn't even be – well, so then bunt the damn ball, all right? If you got a problem, bunt the ball to third base and get on base. Tony Gwynn would have eaten up any shift in the world. So while I don't have – I'm glad, Jerry, that they banned the shifts. I give respect to people who did the shifts because they took advantage and said, hey, we're going to strategize to beat you. You have to come up and now try to beat us, and hitters couldn't do it. That's why they had to ban them.
Yeah, I'm against banning the shift. I think it encourages people not to become true hitters. Like you said about Tony Gwynn.
Yes.
And I think that if you get up, to the plate and you have everybody shifted to one side,
correct,
or you have big gaps, I think in baseball you need to develop the skills to be able to put the ball where the players ain't.
So,
there's big gaps like that.
Realistically, altruistically, Jerry, I completely agree with that. Pragmatically, they had to do it because the game was getting out of hand. So I'm okay with the shift. Like I said, in terms of you got to figure out a way now to beat me when I'm doing this. But it caused so much heat for Major League Baseball. Everybody hated it. Baseball's got all kind of problems in the world anyway. They had to get rid of the shift as a PR move, just to help kind of save the game a little bit.
Oh, I know. But, see, to me, it's kind of like giving in to your kid when, when they're saying, like, I really want these Pokemon cards.
Oh, my God.
And you say, well, okay, you need to earn the money to be able to buy them.
Jerry, on fire today, man. You're on fire today. Because I have this conversation all the time with people who don't have kids. My kids are good, but sometimes you just have to pick the battle or not fight. You see what I'm getting at? I have conversations sometimes with people who don't have kids, and they'll see me or my wife give in to something that our kids want, and they're like, well, what are you doing? You're just giving in. I'm like, this is not a battle worth picking. You see what I'm getting at? There are certain battles with kids, and when you hear it 57,000 times, it's just not worth going to war. Now, look, certain things, you do have to draw a line on the sands, blah, blah, blah. But I've learned as a parent, I've got two kids, they're 12. I don't want to be at war with them all the time. So if you don't give in here and there, you know what I'm saying, you're going to have a bad relationship.
I agree. But I think on important issues, like in basketball, we used to say there was the elephants and the mice, and you didn't worry about the mice. For example, like the jump ball, since that was you only did it once, maybe twice a game,
correct,
if it was overtime.
Yep.
Then you didn't spend a lot of practice time on it.
Right.
You know? But boxing out, you spend a lot of time on because that was the elephant. Well, I think that the shift is an elephant, because I think that by giving into the baseball players, that you're just saying to them, you never learn. You really just keep swinging for those fences. You know, you don't have to learn how to hit, and you're never going to have. You're not going to get new Tony Gwynns or Cepedas,
nope,
or you know the Alus. You're not going to get them, or the Pete Roses. You're not going to get them because you just encouraged home run hitting, and that's why I think that elephant's important. Just like when you're raising your kids, there's some battles that you can't give in.
You should bring this up someday, Jerry, on a slow day, because everything you said there is worth like an hour long conversation. I'm being honest with you, because this is great. This is great stuff. I agree with you in 98% principle, but at the same time, guys are throwing 100 miles an hour now, so we can sit here and say, well, learn how to hit the ball the opposite way, blah, blah, learn how to bunt. Well, now you're doing it against guys throwing 100, and it's much, much, much more difficult to do than it is for us to just say it. So, again, while I agree with almost everything you're saying, I can understand, because pitching has gotten so dominant, why baseball did it.
Yeah, it's gotten dominant, but it's also taken away from the game.
I agree.
I think it's taken interest away from the game, I think. And it's taken a lot of kids out of playing baseball, and means they're not fans. And if you don't get young fans, they're not going to be money spending adult fans in the future.
Buddy, I could literally talk to you about this for an hour. Every topic you've brought up in the last 5 minutes has just been gold. But I got other people waiting on the line, so
all right.
I got to take a break. Kevin and Saxon's going to be up next.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
It's February, and TML Moore Enterprises, owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, has a sweetheart of a deal for you. Get a lube, oil, and filter service that includes up to 5 quarts of conventional oil, belt and hose inspection, tire air pressure set, rotation of all 4 tires, brake inspection, and battery condition inspection, all for just $59.99. Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales are also offering a free Car Care Club membership if you spend $500 or more on any service during the month of February. Each membership is valued at over $499 in services and repairs and includes 4 free oil changes. It all sounds pretty sweet, right? A multi-point inspection, including lube, oil, and filter service for just $59.99, and a free Car Care Club membership when you spend $500 or more on any service at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg. Hurry! Offer expires on February 28th.
Is that a new Samsung Galaxy A15 5G?
Yeah, I got it for free when I joined Cricket Nation.
Sounds pretty great.
At Cricket, anyone can get a new phone when they switch.
Whoa.
With a high-quality camera, meaning more flattering selfies for all. And super fast 5G, so you can post them for all to see. Your friends, your family, your ex. Free phone! Free phone!
Okay, I'll switch.
Welcome to Cricket Nation.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must bring your number to Cricket on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hank FM!
Oh, we've had a bunch of good calls so far. Appreciate everybody tuning in. 946-0435, my fun question of the day. What's the hardest thing to do in sports? Hitting a Major League Baseball pitcher? Making a three-pointer in an NBA game? Catching a pass in an NFL game? Scoring in hockey? Now, look, that's unbelievably difficult. The percentage of people in our country or in the world who can even ice skate is very, very small. So I saw a good discussion about this from some people over the weekend where I was reading some debate about all this. It's like, hey, you know, just being able to skate forwards and backwards and not get pushed over when somebody hits into you, I can't skate. If you're out there and you can ice skate at a really high level, that's amazing. You're in an incredibly small percentage of people that can do that. All right. I think we got Kevin and Saxton. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Corey?
I'm great, man. What's going on?
Hey, I totally agree with you. I tell my 8-year-old nephew all the time, the hardest thing to do is hit a baseball.
Does he play baseball?
He does. He does. And he was throwing to me yesterday. We're just starting to train. And now keep in mind, I'm 45 and arthritic, and so he couldn't have been throwing 40 mile an hour, and he was blowing it by me. I cannot imagine standing in against Nolan Ryan or Paul Skene.
Yeah, my boy throws pretty good, but he's younger. I've been catching some kids helping work out over the last year or so that throw around 75, and I was around a kid last night throwing 80, like a 15-year-old kid throwing 80. And you just see the movement on these balls. I mean, the kid I work with who throws 75, he's got just incredible movement. And I've gotten in the batter's box against it. And I can put a bat on it, but again, that's 75. I couldn't even contemplate 100.
Exactly. Yep. So yeah, I cannot imagine. Hey, I know you said your topic tomorrow is going to be more trouble, the Major League Baseball or the NBA?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to chime in on it. I think it's got to be the NBA. You know, the old guys like Jordan and Bird and Matt, they were lovable guys. I mean, LeBron and all these, they're just not likable. I mean, I know they don't play defense, and I know all they do is chuck threes, but I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe when I was younger, it didn't seem so businessy as it does now. But, I mean, the guys just today just aren't likable.
Yeah, I would not disagree with that. I mean, Steph Curry is a lovable guy. He's very friendly. He's got media presence and all that kind of stuff. But again, like Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, some of these guys. They're miserable. I mean, these and all the load management and taking off once a week, twice a week. I would agree with you that NBA players, by and large. Whether it's not likable or we can't relate to them in any way, shape, or form because they are so spoiled compared to Jordan, who played every single game. A lot of games he'd play every single minute, and yet nowadays you got guys that want to take off two games a week. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, with ticket prices being what they're – can you imagine shelling out that kind of money and just, your guy not playing?
But here's the thing, and look – I try to be honest about you and I are two old white guys in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We're not who the NBA's for. You understand that?
Most definitely. You're right.
The NBA is for young, inner city. I don't know what percentage. It's got to be 80-plus, if not 90-plus% African-American players in the NBA. The NBA is not for old white men in Pennsylvania, all right? It is for inner-city kids. It is because it is fast. Kids love. I can't stand watching 53s a game. You know who loves it? Kids. Kids love shooting 53s.
Yes, they do. I help some people on the side that it's a lot of younger generation. Yeah, right. They just love it.
You see kids, man, I'm around a lot of kids. Every shot, every three, they Curry, like everybody's Curry, you know, doing all this stuff. I mean, who pays the bills? Older people have to pay the bills, yeah. And we are the ones that they do covet our money. And so that's where they're starting. The NBA is really starting to figure this out the last few years about with the declining ratings because everybody wants to shoot 53s, but yet that doesn't make for a watchable game.
Now, my heart will always be with the MLB, but they got their problems too. My wife was just looking over the weekend just to go to a spring training game. The Yankees, I mean, she was looking at some tickets for a weekend spring training game that were $100.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I mean, they're pricing themselves out, too.
Down in Tampa, they charge $100 for spring training games?
For a weekend game, yeah. She was looking it up just for curiosity.
What?
And now, the middle of the week, they're only still like $40, $50, but I wouldn't give $40, $50 to watch the young guys play.
Get the hell out of here paying $100. This is for one ticket?
That was for one ticket, yes.
So you're spending $400-$500 to take your family to a spring training game? Get the hell out of here!
Well, I don't
doubt it. I'm just saying, get the hell out of here if that's what they're charging. That's highway robbery.
Well, that's what I said. So they've got their problems, and we've looked up tickets. I mean, we wanted to get You know, we've looked up Yankee tickets. My nephew's a Yankee. And yes, I mean, you'd have to take out a second mortgage to go to a game.
Oh, my gosh. That's outrageous. $100 for a spring training. Wow. Kevin, good stuff, buddy. Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
946-0435. That blows your mind. I got to take another break. We'll take some more calls after this.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Cup Series race recap from Atlanta Motor Speedway. Taking a look 10-1, John Hunter Nemechek. Then you got Bubba Wallace, Ross Chastain, Kyle Busch with a solid run at number 7, Denny Hamlin, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. number 5, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, third top 10 at Atlanta, and Carson Hocevar. He made a few enemies in this one, but he did get his best career finish at number 2. To victory lane, Christopher Bell was the leader at the time of the caution, which means he gets the checkered flag. He started 32nd and only led the final lap of the race for his 10th career win. Other stories on the day, your Stage 1 winner, Josh Berry, which went caution-free. Stage 2 went to Kyle Larson. Eric Jones was hit by Chris Buescher while running 20th. Jones hit the inside wall. Joey Logano passed Denny Hamlin for the most career laps led on drafting tracks among active drivers, reaching a total of 1,153 laps. A big wreck on lap 183 when Daniel Suarez and Ty Gibbs made contact, taking along with them Cody Ware, Cole Custer, J.J. Yaley, Zane Smith, and Noah Gragson. 27 laps to go, Ryan Blaney, while running fourth, went for a wild ride, spinning on the apron, but manages to not wreck. 3 laps to go, William Byron and Austin Cindric wreck hard after Kyle Larson pinched the 2-car into the wall. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series is Circuit of the Americas. Some road course action Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. This is the final lap.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. Just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity. Maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Well, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this 3-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party bar. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
HFM.
Sports Central brought to you every day by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. Stop on over there at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe. We got our phone lines open, 946-0435, 946-0435. If you want to play along with my little game of what's the hardest thing to do in sports, again, I don't think it's even remotely close that it is hitting a Major League Baseball. That is just outrageously difficult. If you've ever stood in and tried to hit a baseball of any kind, And again, like I said earlier, I probably faced 83, 85 when I was a teenager, but it was just all fastballs. And I could always hit a fastball. If you knew a fastball was coming, you know, you just kind of hit time it right a little bit. But if you're throwing in sliders and curveballs and all that stuff, these people would make you look absolutely silly. There is one thing I wanted to touch on here. It's not sports related. I'm not going to give any spoilers here. But there's been kind of a pop culture phenomenon over the last 5 years or so called Cobra Kai. Now, how many of you watched the Karate Kid movies growing up? If you're in my age group or a little bit older, surely you watched the Karate Kid. Karate Kid Part 1, Daniel, the new kid, moves in. He gets bullied by Johnny Lawrence. He likes the girl. He learns how to do karate. He ends up winning the tournament. Karate Kid, just one of those great underdog, Rocky kind of movies. Probably 15 years ago, maybe, I heard it for the first time, that if you viewed the Karate Kid from a different perspective, Daniel LaRusso is the villain. This is a fascinating concept to me in movies. If you go into the Karate Kid and I tell you Johnny Lawrence is the hero of the movie going in, and you're watching the movie from Johnny Lawrence's perspective, and you think about Johnny Lawrence's lifestyle. He plays played by the blonde character William Zabka. We all remember Karate Kid. Daniel LaRusso comes in. He gets bullied by the blonde dude. He ends up doing the crane kick and beating him to win the All-Valley Tournament. But about 15 years ago, I heard this theory that if you view the movie from Johnny Lawrence's perspective, Daniel's the villain. He comes in. He screws up everything that Johnny's worked for in his life. He steals his girlfriend. Now, whether or not that was true in the movie, that was the way Johnny Lawrence viewed it, that this new guy came in and stole his girlfriend. Then, yeah, they had a fight, but Daniel escalated things at the Halloween party, remember? Daniel's the one who escalated things by doing, you know, whatever in the bathroom, like pouring water or whatever on Johnny. And then all the guys attacked Daniel. And this old dude steps in and kicks the crap out of all these teenage boys. Again, if you view it from Johnny Lawrence's perspective, this old dude, Mr. Miyagi, it's like a ghost, comes out of nowhere and beats up me and my friends. What a jerk. This other teenager can't handle things that are going on in his life. And so he gets this old guy to come beat us up. So again, if you were to think about things from that perspective, everything we do in life is a matter of perspective. If you're watching a movie, reading a book, watching a TV show, blah, 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 they're going to force on you who they want the hero to be, who they want the protagonist to be. Karate Kid, it's obviously Daniel. Cobra Kai is one of the most genius TV shows ever. And if you've watched Cobra Kai, any of it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't watched it, I'll just simply tell you this. Cobra Kai catches up 3 decades later with Johnny Lawrence and what happened to his life. Again, I'm not going to give any spoilers about what happens throughout the series, but it's in the very first episode, he's a gigantic loser. Johnny Lawrence is a gigantic loser. Losing that fight to Daniel in 1984, and then his sensei, John Kreese, beating him up in the parking lot, ruined this 17-year-old kid's life. It ruined his life. So from a movie perspective, all we know about Johnny Lawrence is just the kid who's in the movie for 10 or 15 minutes, and he's the ultimate bad guy in the movie. The TV show Cobra Kai recaps everything that happened in Johnny's life and how everything turned to crap for 35 years after that, and how he ended up becoming a gigantic loser who could never hold down any kind of job or relationship or anything like that. And again, I've heard this theory 15 years ago about how, you know, Johnny, if you viewed it in a certain perspective, could be viewed as the good guy and Daniel the bad guy. But I just finished watching Cobra Kai. The final episodes are out on Netflix right now. I think it ran 6 seasons, probably about 70 episodes, 70, 75 episodes, give or take. There's a lot of fun in it. Some crazy storylines. They focus on a lot of kids in Cobra Kai. But if you've seen Cobra Kai, if you've seen any of the episodes, you know what I'm talking about. And it makes me wonder, how many movie characters are there? If enough time and devotion were paid to revisiting movie characters in other movies, like supposed bad guys, if you knew more about their situation, would we actually think of them as the good guy, the hero, the protagonist who just happened to get screwed over? You know what I'm saying? I think Cobra Kai is really kind of one of a kind like that. I haven't seen Wicked. I think Wicked probably falls into this category from everything I know a little bit. They tell the Wizard of Oz from the different perspective, you know, and you know, maybe the witches aren't so much terrible in Wicked when they're terrible in the Wizard of Oz. But, you know, the show Cobra Kai, if you're out there and you're of a certain age and you grew up with Karate Kid, I couldn't recommend enough, at least starting Cobra Kai. At least the first season, see how it goes. Because when you catch up 35 years later with a guy, a character who was the total villain. For 35 years, you thought of them as the villain, the bad guy. And now you see that he's just a human being. And he had to deal with the repercussions. While Daniel LaRusso goes on, becomes rich and famous, Johnny Lawrence becomes a gigantic loser, you know, who's getting evicted from his apartment. It's pretty fascinating. And now, I don't like to start watching TV shows until they're done, so that way I can binge them all. I don't want to watch a show for a season and then have to wait a year, for crying out loud, for the next season to come out. I hate doing that.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. 3 cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this 3-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
All right, good stuff. We still have a few minutes left. Our phone lines are open, 946-0435. For months and months now, I hope it goes through this time, We have one caller on the show that comes in from a 412 area code, and we get it ghosts all the time. It'll go in there, and it'll be there for 20 seconds, and then it disappears. And so I can never tell. I got to ask. Hopefully this goes through. My fingers are crossed. So far, so there we go. Jim, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Jim, I got a question for you. Because you've been trying to call for several months, right?
Yeah, last week I've been trying to call and call and call.
And you get, what the hell happens? Because I would
explain. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens? Go ahead.
Well, what happens on my screen is I see the number come up. There's only two people that call the show regularly from a 412 area code, you and a guy named JK. So every time the 412 area code comes up, I'm like, okay. And then it'll be on there for 15 seconds, and then it disappears. And then you can tell you call back, and it'll be on there for 15 seconds, and it disappears. So what's going on from your end?
My end, when it'll be on there, it'll start ringing. Somebody picks. Like 15 seconds later, I hear a bump, like somebody hung up on me.
No, they're not hanging up on you, Jim. They're connecting you to the studio.
Well, it don't matter what part of the house. If I'm in the house and try to call, I only get like two bars.
When your perspective, like when you answer and Jody answers out front and she connects you, and then it goes silent, does it hang up on you or does it just go silent?
It'll go silent, and then my end up off.
Okay, if it knocks off, that's one. But if it goes silent, just let it go. That means because you might be the fourth caller, and I might not get to you for 7 or 8 minutes. You know, so you might have silence for 7 or 8 minutes. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I might have callers ahead of you because anyway, this you know as well as I do. This happens a lot. Okay, so we got a couple minutes left. What do you want to talk about today, Jim?
Just tied in to Pittsburgh Sign Friday. Do you know anything about him?
Oh, let me see.
His first name's Donald Parham, P-A-R-H-A-M.
Massachusetts.
Played for the Chargers.
His name, I'm trying to find the stats here. His name is, Parham. Let's see. I'm trying to find what he did for the Chargers last year. And give me Donald Parham. He had 10 last year. He had 2 years ago. He had 27 catches for 285. I'm not seeing stats for 2024. Played for the Chargers.
He was in that UFS
league. Oh, was he in that? Because he's played 4 years in the NFL. He's got a total of 67 catches for 764 yards. So he's 6'8", 237. He's a big human being. And from what I can gather, just looking at this, I wouldn't say he's a dangerous pass catcher, but maybe he fits the Steelers' mold of getting like another offensive lineman at tight end.
That's what I'm wondering, because it seems to me, why are you signing all these tight ends? Don't run a tight end offense.
They want a running offense because Mike Tomlin thinks it's 1987 and they're still trying to run the ball too much.
And did they sign Fields as their quarterback?
He's still with them. We don't know. We're going to get into that tomorrow. He is still there.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see about that. Jim, thanks for the call. Have a good night, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.